All right, good morning, and we're glad to be here. All right, this morning I would like to talk about forgiveness, and this was a common theme that I talked about in Belize for many, many years, and I just can't help but just can't keep coming back to it because it affects so much of our lives. And so we just want to look at it again this morning. When we forgive somebody, or when we have forgiveness, it says it would mean to pardon, to cease to feel anger against another. So this is what God's offering to all of us this morning, this forgiveness. This is what we need. We desperately need this all through life, when we're young teenagers, and all to the very end of life. We need this forgiveness. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, it says, "So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins." So there it's talking about how we can get forgiveness, how we can find forgiveness by believing in His Son who has forgiven us. Without the forgiveness of God, where would we be today? Sometimes I see older people like me in life. I observe them, and I just look at their life. I look at their journey. Where are they now? And I see those who have never found forgiveness, never found it. They're my age or older, a little bit younger, and they never found it. For whatever reason, maybe they had an opportunity, but they didn't take it, or they got into some type of occupation that it was very hard for them to ever find forgiveness, or they had a life full of confrontation in their home when they were growing up. Bitterness just had overcome them. And so now, at the end of the life, they're just not there. So then I have to think of myself, well, I had the opportunity and I took it. And anyway, I'm just saying that, you know, we can't take it for granted. We can't take it for granted. And I just was thinking before I got up here, I said, at the end of life, the love of many shall wax cold. People will become worse and worse, and there's always a chance that we can lose it. We can lose it, our salvation. It's not something that we can just keep and never lose. We can lose it. In Matthew chapter 13, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. What's it talking about here? To me, I understand this is salvation. It's salvation. It's talking about people who have found salvation through Jesus and have had their sins forgiven. A complete and total change takes place. Also, it's talking, then let's go to 1 Corinthians 6, 9. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. It says, but you were, some of you, okay, we'll back up a little bit. Verse 9. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or are greedy people or drunkards or are abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed, you were made holy, you were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. I want to focus on 11. Some of you were like that, but you were cleansed. So we're talking about forgiveness, which then we, when we're forgiven, we're cleansed. Cleansed would be to make something completely clean. Completely. It's totally clean. So we're forgiven, and then in God's eyes, we're cleansed. So we could say we have been forgiven, and a total cleansing has taken place. That's how it is when we're born again. Our sins have been washed away, and we are totally clean now. We start. That's our start. We begin like that. And as I mentioned, God wants us to continue that way all through life, but it's an ongoing struggle and challenge, and we need to fight our way through to gain the prize. As I mentioned before, many people never experience this true forgiveness of God in their lives, and I watch that. I see it. I said, the poor man, he never made it. He never got there. He's not there yet. Many people are like that. They never experience forgiveness. So they never experience forgiveness with God. And then it comes out, they never have forgiveness for each other. That's the big tragedy. I call that the tragedy of life. They've never experienced God's forgiveness. And so the issues with people control their life. It controls them. In Matthew 6:14, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So we see the majority of people in verse 15. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's where the majority of people are, in that mess. So that's how we see people, and then we see their unforgiveness towards others. They've just got some problem all the time. You talk to them, and they're always complaining. They're always in a complaining state, a mood. And you see, rethink to yourself, well, they're in that, they can forgive others, and God hasn't forgiven them. There's no forgiveness. So many people are in the world are having that kind of a problem. Because there's no forgiveness, the husband is a constant conflict with the wife. Up there at work where I work, one of the very nice family there, one of the workers there, I like him, he's very nice, but some conflict in the home. Now he has to put an extra, I guess they separated, so now he has to put in extra hours at work to pay for child care or something. I said, oh, he's such a nice guy. I liked his wife, liked his children, big family. Unforgiveness. Something's wrong. Something's happening in the home. So it's the husband, the wife, and then it's families can't get along. Remember that story about the Hatfields and the McCoys? Was it in Kentucky? Some kind of family feud between two families that went on for generations. The Hatfields and the McCoys just can't make it, can't get along. I don't know how it started. I don't know. You could look it up. I think it's a true story. Just drag it on, generation after generation. They can't get together. Neighborhoods don't get along. Yes, countries don't. Now today, what's the problem now? Countries can't get along. Nobody wants to give in and say, well, you won, I lost. Nobody wants to do that. They're willing to sacrifice the lives of thousands of people to simply say, I won and you lost. So that's on the international stage. That kind of stuff's happening right now. Terrible things are happening. It affects all of us. Because one says, I don't want to say I lost and you won. And the other one says, no. So that's the problem. No forgiveness. No forgiveness. I often think to myself, why is it so hard to say things like this? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Why? I know it is a little hard sometimes. Even myself, I'll say it. It's hard to say, I'm sorry. I think to myself, I think to myself, you are the problem. You are the problem. So we don't want to say, I'm sorry. And sometimes it is hard to say, I'm sorry. But that's absolutely essential, isn't it? In anything, to say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I failed, I'll take all the blame. Please forgive me. If it helps at all, I'll resign. Did you ever hear anybody say that? I'll resign and you take over. That's fine with me. Do you ever hear that? I'll resign and you take over. Nope. Nope, no. Whoa, no, no, no. We don't say those things. It would be good sometimes if somebody would lay down his work and let another one take it. It would go good. It'd be better. But we don't want to do that. We don't want to do it. Words like these are precious from the mouths of who? Of those who have been forgiven by God and have been cleansed. We are quicker to say, those are good words, but this is how we do it. They have the problems. They have the problem, not me. It's not my fault. I've heard that before. Ooh. It's not my fault. You ever hear that? They say it just like that. It's not my fault. That's right there. That tells you something. You hear that voice? It's not my fault. I'll never forgive them. Have you ever heard that? I've heard that before. People will say we'll never forgive them. That's awful. Never? You'll never get into the kingdom of God. They don't think about that. They'll never get in the kingdom of God if they say, I'll never forgive them. But I have heard people say such things. Say sorry. Say sorry. Never. Never. Or she said, she has the problem, not me. She has the problem, not me. Marriage counselors. That's a hard job. To be a marriage counselor. I don't know. I think that's harder than cutting blocks. To be a marriage counselor, they've heard it all. But I know they've heard that one. She has the problem, not me. He has the problem, not me. That's probably the two main things he hears. I don't know if marriage counseling does much good. I don't know. But I hand it to the men and women who are in the profession. God bless them. But I probably, their successes are few. Because I've seen this played out in church life for many years, working in situations like this. My successes with this type of thing between people is probably about, I could count it on my hand in 40 years. The success of people willing to be, to give, or be for, to find forgiveness and forgive others, it's very, very hard. What is precious and of great value? Forgiveness is. Forgiveness is one of the fruits of the salvation. I don't say it's the best one, but it's pretty high on the list. If you can't forgive people who have wronged us, as I mentioned, neither will God forgive you. Keep that in mind. When you have that bitterness towards the wife, when you have that bitterness towards the school teacher, when you have that bitterness towards your neighbor, when you have that bitterness towards your sister, when you have that bitterness towards your uncle, when you have that bitterness towards the mayor, when you have that bitterness towards the president, when you have that bitterness towards the people who can't forgive others or won't forgive others are mentioned here in Jude 19. Jude 19 talks about them. These are the people who cause divisions, who are controlled by their natural desires, who do not have the Spirit. People who are not cleansed and have not been forgiven. They don't have the Spirit. That's pretty blunt. Some guy or some lady who's always just difficult. Difficult. You talk to them and they're just difficult. They can't get over their problem. They can't get over their bitterness. What's the problem? Don't have the Spirit of God. Done. That's how it is. If you go to a person and talk to him about his problem and you know, it's obvious there's a problem there and he's just fighting you and upset with you and then he takes his fight somewhere else and, hey, he doesn't have the Spirit. Done. That's how it is. Acts 3:13, 38 through 39, all of you, my fellow Israelites, are to know for sure that it is through Jesus that the message about forgiveness of sins is preached to you. You are to know that everyone who believes in him is set free from all of their sins. Jesus. Now let's go to Luke chapter 7. And read this story. Luke 7, 36 through 50. Sometimes we shy away from reading passages of Scripture. I don't know why. Anyway, let's try it. 7, 36 through 50. Where are we? Yeah. Well, I'm in Matthew. Just a minute. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Matthew 7. Jesus anointed by a sinful woman. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus, I have to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, he brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisees, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one, 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more than that? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the first time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You never neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Okay, let's look at this story. Sinful woman came into the house behind him, brought an alabaster bottle of fragrant oil or perfume. Now, I looked that up about this alabaster perfume. Very interesting. I'll read this. In Luke 7, the Bible does not state an exact monetary price for the alabaster jar or perfume. However, parallel accounts of similar extravagant perfume offerings, such as in John 12:5, note that such ointment was worth 300 denarii, which equaled about a year's wages for common laborers. Modern equivalent. Depending on how workers' wages are calculated today, this amount is often estimated to be anywhere from $20,000 to over $50,000 in modern currency. So if you work at McDonald's, you make $20,000. If you work at Bucky's, you might make $50,000 if you clean the bathrooms. But think about it. A year's wages? Think about how much money you made last year. Okay, some of you made 30, 35, maybe some 50, some 75, maybe some of you made 100,000, or maybe some of you made 125,000. I don't know. But that's it. The averages of a group. A whole year's wages she dumped on his feet. What does that tell you? That tells me that all of her sins, and they were many, all of them had been forgiven. It says here, because pure nard had to be imported from remote regions like the Himalayas, the contents of the jar were extremely valuable, often serving as a family savings asset, kind of like an RRA. IRA, something like that. So I kept there for retirement. That's how precious it was. And it comes from a plant made into a rare perfume requiring an intense labor of and process. So that's what she dumped on his feet. So is salvation that precious to us? Is salvation that precious to us? More important than anything else. Worth a year's wages. She had a load of sin. She was maybe adulteress. That was her profession. I don't know where she heard Jesus preaching. There's a lot of possibilities. My mind goes to one of the towns. That's where she would have had her clients. Tiberias, maybe, Capernaum. Those were along the in the area of the Sea of Galilee. A lot of summer vacationers would go there, had money, they had time, they're on a vacation. That's where she spent her time. I think it was probably there. It could be she was, somebody told her that Jesus was going to be preaching on the mount. He was going to be preaching on the side of the mountain. Maybe she went up there and heard him. Maybe she was one of the 5,000 or one of the 4,000. Maybe she was by the sea. That's where she heard him, but she heard him. And Jesus met her need. And she responded. That was important. She responded. She was convicted, and she responded. We have to respond to find forgiveness. We can't just be convicted and say, that was nice. I liked what he said. No, she had to take the next step and respond. And then Jesus forgave her, as we read here. He forgave her. He says, your many sins have been forgiven. So she had become a believer. So she had the pearl, and she had the treasure. She got it. She didn't need anything else. She had it. She had experienced forgiveness and cleansing. She came now to give her thanks to Jesus for providing that forgiveness. Let's look at Simon. Simon was different from the woman. He did not commit adultery, I doubt. If he did, he did it secretly and nobody knew. He did not commit any other outward sins. Maybe he did, but again, they were hidden. He kept it secret. That's our problem. That's my problem. That's our problem. Now we type of people would be in the Pharisee column. We tend to live in the Pharisee area now. We've been forgiven. People expect a certain way of life from us. They expect us to be a certain way. We tend to live in that column of the Pharisees now. That's where we are. There's that tendency for us to be there. How are you today? I'm fine. How are you really? I'm a mess. That's how we are. We're in that area. That's where we live. That's where we're feeding now. I'm just saying, being honest with myself, that's how we, and I think we are that way. We don't want to open up. We don't want to share. We don't want to expose. We just want to feed down here in that area, Pharisee area. I think that's where Simon lived, in that Pharisee area. Could be when he was younger, he had more honorable goals. But as time went on, he just fell into that other area. I'm not saying you're all there, but it's just a tendency for us to be in that kind of place. I'm looking at it myself. He had pride. He thought himself better than others. He was jealous. He was angry. He was envious. The woman got the attention. He didn't get it. It was on Simon. Until she walked in and ruined everything. He was the center of attention. She walked in and everybody was just looking at her. And they weren't looking at him. So we could say he was a dirty, unbroken mind. Simon looked good on the outside only, as we often do. What did the woman have which Simon did not have? The woman had found forgiveness from God. She had the pearl. She had the pearl. She got it. She had found the pearl. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking a beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went out and sold all that he had and bought it. Where's your pearl? Where's my pearl? I lost it. Do I know where it is? I used to know. Do I still know? Has the pearl of salvation lost its shine in our lives? God has forgiven us our sins. Let us forgive each other. It always comes back to forgiving God has forgiven us. Are we still forgiving others? In Colossians 3:13. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Verse 13 is very good. This is the life in the home with the husband and the wife. This is the life in the church with the brothers and sisters. This is the life in the home with our extended family. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Now, what I want to say is this, that in our homes, you don't really know me or know us in our home, behind the closed doors. The front door is locked. Do you know me? Okay. The bedroom door locks. Do you know me? We don't know each other. But in our home, Craig, Flora, and Jerry, well, what can I say? We allow things, and things happen, and what do we do? We forgive each other's faults. But if you would be a little bird or hummingbird, you sneaked into the back door when we didn't see, and you spent 24 hours in there, and you would just see how we really are, or, you know, whatever, and that's in your homes and everybody's homes, would we still have patience with each other? I don't know. Make allowance for each other's faults. That's how we should be with each other. Things go on sometimes, and we know what our strange ways are, and we try not to show the strange ways. We try to be good and show good and show everything just as they are to be, but sometimes maybe we say something wrong, or we talk to each other and then we answer in a slight way that we shouldn't, or we don't quite see it right, and that's the opportunity for a trouble to begin. That's where trouble can start like that. And we don't make that allowance for each other's faults. And so then we get offended. And then offense leads to separation. And so it's important that we make allowance for each other's faults. It's like this. When something like that happens, we should think to ourselves, yeah, he did that, but you know, man, I did the same thing last year. I did the same thing. Maybe some kind of church issue where something comes up, and it was wrong. They messed up. What can we say? They messed up. And then, but you know, I always like to think, yes, they did, but I messed up too. I messed up worse than they did. Yeah. So that's how we need to live in church life. It's not easy. No, it's not easy. It's not easy. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you forgive others. Yes, you forgive others. We forgive each other in the home with things that happen there. We are patient with each other in the home. Things we say in the home to each other. Yeah, we let it go. But then when the same thing happens, if it's not our family, we don't have patience, and we don't let it go. And we get offended, and we separate. So this verse is very good, very important. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember that the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Or a problem will come up, and the person who caused the problem, maybe he did the same thing last year. And so we don't, they did it again, man. That's bad. They did it again. And like 5 years ago, they did it again. And then we could say, we hear people say, my patience is wearing thin. You ever hear that? My patience is wearing thin. Well, we do have Matthew 18 also as a way to heal. We can bring that into focus here, Matthew 18, going to them and talking to them. So that's how we handle that. If our patience is wearing thin, we forgave them several times, we made allowance many, many times, and we can say, well, it looks like I'm going to have to move on. Well, wait a minute. Go get Matthew 18, pull it out, and use it. And then your patience is going to get thicker again. So my question is, where is your pearl? Where is your pearl? Did you lose it? Did you sell your pearl? Are you still loving your pearl? Do you still have it? Where is it? How is our relationship with each other? Keep your pearl close. Salvation, keep it close. Keep your clean heart close. Don't lose it. 1 John 1:9, but if you confess your sins to God, he will keep his promise and do what is right. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all wrongdoing. All right, looks like I'm done. No more pages. All right. Thank you for your attention.